The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth. The trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today we're going to talk about the nine greatest truths about Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. Overview of the broadcast. The truth about Yeshua, who is mistakenly widely called Jesus, is complex. I've written widely on this topic over the years. Last week I broadcast on the five big lies about Jesus, which lists the key points of the errors around Jesus and why people mistakenly believe that Jesus is God and is the Almighty in human form. As a counterpoint to that broadcast, this broadcast examines the other side of the coin, the nine greatest truths about Yeshua, not Jesus. So the overview is that his name is Yeshua, not Jesus. He was the firstborn of creation. He was created as a human being, a son of Adam, and therefore also a son of Yah. He was anointed, filled with the spirit of Yah. He lived life without sin, and that gave him power over the satanic and demonic realm. He gave his life as an offering for sin. He was the firstborn from the dead with massive authority, powers, etc. Prophetic actions enabled various legal powers and other authorities in his life. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool so that he can return as king in 3003. Finally, we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a consultant and business manager. I have nearly 30 years experience of actively seeking to draw close to Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked in an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org, for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, the show on the top menu, and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts. We'll search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There are about 4 podcast websites with all the back issues on it. So we're going to look at the 9 greatest truths about Yeshua. Oh, excuse me. Mistakenly called Jesus. The truth about Yeshua, who is mistakenly widely called Jesus, is complex. I've written widely on this topic over the years. See, for example, the article on the miracle of Yeshua's death, and also the essence of my message regarding Yeshua, Jesus, as 2 important recent examples. As I've written before, on the 12th of March 1993, the Almighty Creator spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real, and I turned back to serving him. At time I was introduced to a charismatic Christian church by the man Father directed me to contact, and because Father had sent me to this man and he'd taken to me to this church, I took on board everything the church was teaching. I immediately assumed that they were teaching all truth. They were teaching that Jesus is God, the Bible is the word of God and without error, etc. I took all of these teachings on board wholeheartedly and energetically. Eventually, in 2001, after a series of fasts seeking truth, Father taught me that the name of the prophet of Nazareth was not Jesus, but Yeshua. Subsequently, he said to me, Yeshua is not me, he's a man. He gave me various references to substantiate this, but it took me the best part of the next 10 years to internalize this, adjust to it, and take it fully on board. Since then, I've come to increasingly understand the complexities and negative impact of the wrong beliefs about Jesus, the Trinity, etc. In this process, I also learned that the Christian Church, and indeed all human organizations purporting to serve the Creator, are in massive error. A few weeks ago, I wrote an article on the 5 big lies about Jesus, which I broadcast last week, which lists the key points of errors around Jesus and why people mistakenly believe that Jesus is God and is the Almighty in human form. So, folks, a big challenge for many believers, certainly many Christian believers, who have grown up believing that Jesus is God, excuse me, that his name is Jesus and so forth. I understand the challenge. Father showed me in a very, very dramatic way that Yeshua was not Yah. And I now fully see it, I fully get it, and I'm fully aware of it, and I'm sharing it with you on these broadcasts. As a counterpoint to the article about the 5 big lies, this broadcast examines the other side of the coin, the 9 greatest truths about Yeshua, not Jesus. Truth number 1, his name is Yehoshua, not Jesus. 2, firstborn of creation. 3, created as a human being, a son of Adam, and also, therefore, a son of Yah. Number 4, anointed, filled with the Spirit of Yah. 5, lived life without sin, and that gave him power over the satanic and demonic realm. 6, he died as an offering for sin. 7, he is the firstborn from the dead. He has massive authority, massive powers, etc. 8, prophetic actions enabled various legal powers and other authorities in Yeshua's life. And 9, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool, so that he can return as king of all human kings in 3003. These points are discussed in more detail in what follows. So, folks, many of the points that I've just listed, which I'm going to talk about in more detail in a few moments, are challenging for many believers, certainly for many Christian believers. I ask you just to listen and then think about it. You may well find that there are a number of things that you struggle to accept, struggle to agree with me on. As I've said, it took me about 10 years from the time that I heard clearly that Yahushua was not the Almighty to the time that I could comfortably talk about it without sort of slipping back into the pattern of thinking that he was the Almighty. So I understand this is going to be a challenge for many of the people listening to this broadcast. So truth number one, his name is Yahushua, not Jesus. That's Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, Yahushua. See the web page. The true name of the prophet from Nazareth is Yahushua, not Jesus. On the web page, Yahushua, not Jesus. It is vital to understand that it is an insult to call him Jesus and that his true name is Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation, where Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator. Clearly, since his name references Yah, he is not Yah. So there's a big piece in what we're talking about to come back to the true names. The name of the Creator is Yah, the eternally self-existing. His fundamental name is Yah, Y-A-H. You can't translate it to anything else. It's not the Lord. The Lord is an insult. It's not God. God is an insult. In the same way that Yeshua is not Jesus, Jesus is an insult. Jesus means blessed is Zeus. Zeus is a satanic, demonic mastermind. The forces of darkness have been so effective in trapping people in wrong thinking, but the wrong names, wrong beliefs. If you really want to serve Father, it's vital to recognize that Satan is the mighty one, the God of this world. Satan is in control of the world. Satan is in control of the church. Satan is in control of the mosque or the synagogue or the temple or whatever. It doesn't matter what your religion is. Satan is in control. Those who are truly serving Father are not involved in any form of formal religion. They have a relationship with Father, and the people in formal religion don't understand. Truth number two. Yeshua is the firstborn of creation. It's important to understand that the spirit being who came to earth in the body of the man Yahushua of Nazareth, the son of Miriam, not Mary, and thereby son of Adam, was the first spirit being that Yah created at the commencement of the creation process. So the spirit that became Yeshua was there as executive assistant, stroke chief operating officer, stroke right-hand man, whatever you want to call him, of the Almighty throughout the creation process. He came to earth at times as the messenger of Yah, the angel of the Lord, and the captain of the host. For convenience, I will refer to the spirit being as Yahushua at all times, although this was not his name at the start. So it is vital to understand that the spirit being who became the man Yahushua was indeed a very special individual. He had a very special relationship with Yah. He had a very deep understanding of the satanic and demonic realm and what he was letting himself in for when he came to earth. And that is important to understand because there are verses in the so-called New Testament, in the Gospels and elsewhere, that are widely interpreted as saying that Yahushua is Yah. And that's not the case. Yahushua was the first spirit that Yah created And he came to earth as a man in the body of Yahushua, the man, the son of Miriam. At the time that Hillel, now Satan, rebelled and challenged Yah to the contest, see the web page Essence Rules of Engagement Contest, and was cast down to earth, see the web page Essence of My Messagery, History Our World Today, to become Satan. And then Adam rebelled, ate the forbidden fruit, and thereby made mankind servants of Satan, and made Satan God, Almighty One of this world. It became apparent that something needed to be done if Yah was to have any hope of winning the contest. Yah and Yeshua sat down and developed a plan to turn the situation around. This plan ran over thousands of years and culminated with the coming to earth of Yeshua in the human body formed in the womb of Miriam, Mary, living a sinless life and dying on the stake to defeat Satan and provide a simple offering for sin that is available to every believer at any time. The first point here is that the spirit being that became Yeshua was the firstborn of creation. He was therefore highly knowledgeable and knew exactly what he had to do in order to accomplish his mission, which was to die on a stake, not a cross, and shed his blood onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. I refer you again to the article on the miracle of Yeshua's death. So, big story here. Yah put Adam on earth to rule on earth. Adam obeyed Satan, became a servant of Satan, made human beings servants of Satan, made Satan the god of this world. Something had to be done in order to regain authority. And in order to do that, Yeshua came and lived a life without sin, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. Truth number three, Yeshua was created as a human being, a son of Adam and a son of Yah. In considering Yeshua, it is vital to recognize that he is not the Almighty. Yeshua was and is 100% human. See the web page, The Five Big Lies About Jesus. He was conceived by a creative miracle in the fallopian tube of Miriam that is less of a miracle than the miracle of the creation of Adam from the dust of the earth. See Genesis 1:27 and 1 Corinthians 15:47. And the creation of Chava, Eve, from the rib of Adam. See Genesis 2:22. Regarding Adam, see Genesis 1:26 to 31. 26, then the Almighty God, not God, said, "Let me make man in my image, according to my likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth." So the Almighty created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of the Almighty, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And the Almighty blessed them, granting them certain authority, and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subjugate it, putting it under your power, and rule over, dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth." So the Almighty said, "Behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, the entire earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to all the animals on the earth, and to every bird of the air, and everything that moves on the ground, to everything in which there is the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food." Excuse me. "And it was so, because he, the Almighty, commanded it. The Almighty saw everything that it made, and behold, it was very good, and he validated it completely. There was evening and there was morning, a sixth day." That quotation is from the Amplified Bible with adjustments for names, etc. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47, says the first man, Adam, is from the earth, earthly, made of dust. Regarding Chava, Eve, see Genesis 2:20 to 24, "And the man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper that was suitable, a companion for him. So Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Lord God, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and while he slept he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place, and the rib which Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Almighty, Lord God, had taken from the man he made, fashioned, formed into a woman, and he brought her and presented her to the man. Then Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed or embarrassed." So what I would ask you to see here is that humankind, through Adam, was created out of the dust of the earth, out of just the raw materials on the earth. Massive creative miracle to produce these highly intelligent beings with the ability to discern, with the ability to reason, with the ability to make decisions, to differentiate between right and wrong. And then Father created woman from the rib of the man, also a massive creative miracle. In contrast to creating Yeshua, Jesus, from an egg, an ovum, in the fallopian tubes of Miriam Mary. Note that the first creation, the wife of Adam, was in Lilith, also created from the dust of the earth, and she quickly fell away after Satan and was rejected, necessitating Yah to create Chava, Eve, from the rib of Adam. It is fundamentally critical to understand that Yeshua was and is 100% human. If he were not entirely human, he would have no authority when he walked the earth, and he would have no authority today. He could only do what he did because he was entirely human. This gives us a basis to hope to live life without sin and to perform greater works than Yeshua performed. In other words, to follow his example, whereby he exemplifies the way to deep personal relationship with Yah. Folks, so important. Draw a distinction between the miraculous creation of Adam and all the wrong thinking around Yeshua and the miraculous creation of Yeshua. It is so important to realize that all authority was given to Adam. Adam gave that authority to Satan when he sinned. Yeshua regained that authority when he died without sinning. And Yeshua delegated that authority to us as believers if we live free of sin. Truth number four, Yeshua was anointed, filled with the Spirit of Yah. Yeshua was anointed with the Spirit of Yah, the Almighty Creator. That is what Christ actually means. See the article on the webpage, Essence of Message to Christians, and other articles cited above. The word Christ in the so-called New Testament is an inaccurate rendering of about four different Greek words, all of which are inaccurate translations of the Hebrew Messiah, meaning anointed with the Spirit of the Almighty Creator. See the webpage, The Five Big Lies About Jesus. When Yeshua was immersed, not baptized, in the Jordan River by Yehuchanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, the Spirit of Yah came upon Yeshua and filled him. See Luke 3:21-22. Now when all the people were baptized, Yeshua was also baptized, and while he was praying, the visible heaven was opened, and the set-apart Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my Beloved. In you I am well pleased and delighted." It was this Spirit of the Almighty, the portion set aside for true believers, that equipped Yeshua to perform miracles and speak in the name of the Almighty. This is so important, folks. Yeshua was filled with the Spirit of Yah. It was the Spirit of Yah in and on Yeshua, who healed the sick, raised the dead, caused him to be able to walk on the water, caused him to be in a position where Yah could speak through him. It is entirely possible for you to get so filled with the Spirit of Yah that you can do all of those things. And Yeshua said that we would do greater works than he did because he was going to be with his father. So you can aspire to do everything that Yeshua did, and you can aspire to do more than Yeshua did. The same set-apart spirit is available to every believer who asks for it. And these same miracles are available to be performed by every believer who seeks that power. Refer to the articles on revival, Revival Revisited, and also the collection of important videos on the website. There are a number of videos there of anointed believers performing miracles and so-called revivals, particularly in the United States in the 20th century. Note that where Yah says, my beloved son, this is not in a sexually created sense. It is in the same sense. Yeshua is a son of Yah in exactly the same way that Adam was a son of Yah. See Luke 3:38, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of the Almighty. In the same way, all human beings are sons of Yah, created in his image. So as believers, we're accustomed to refer to Yah as Father, which by implication means that one is a son or daughter of Yah. There's a tendency to believe that because Yeshua is referred to as the Son of God, the Son of Yah, that somehow he's a procreated, sexually created offspring of Yah, and therefore is Yah in the flesh in some strange way. It's just not the case, folks. He would have had no authority if he came as Yah in the flesh. His authority was because he was 100% human and he lived without sin. Truth number five, he lived his life without sin, and that gave him power over the satanic and demonic realm. The most significant truth about Yeshua, which is grossly understated by most, is that he lived his entire life and died without committing a single sin. He achieved this because coming to earth with full knowledge of the ways of Satan, he was able to resist the satanic and demonic realm, and because he was born of a pure virgin with no father, he did not inherit any bloodline curses or demons. This fundamentally allowed him to have victory over Satan and regain the authority that Adam lost and gave to Satan. Thus, any believer who lives a life free of sin and believes in the authority of Yeshua will have the full authority of Yeshua over the satanic and demonic realm. See Matthew 28:18 to 19a. Then Yeshua came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. This is a key point in Matthew 28:18 and 19. Yeshua died without sin. He was given all authority over the satanic and demonic realm, and he delegated it to us. Those of us who are filled with the Spirit, who have a relationship with Father, and who are free of sin. If you're not free of sin and you try and exercise that authority, you're a servant of Satan trying to exercise the authority over the satanic and demonic realm, and they will laugh at you. They will mock you. They will produce counterfeit miracles to make you think that you're walking in authority. Thus, if you're an anointed, spirit-filled believer free of sin, then you have full authority over the forces of darkness, and Father expects you to exercise that authority in the name of Yeshua to tear down principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions, heal the sick, raise the dead, walk on water, speak on his behalf, and generally do battle with the satanic and demonic realm. Realize that if you're worshiping Jesus, calling him Jesus, calling Father God and the Lord, working on Saturday, observing Christmas, Easter, Halloween, then you are full of sin, and you have no authority, or only pseudo-authority, as this satanic and demonic realm delivers counterfeits to make you think you're exercising authority. Note that the status changed in 2003 in preparation for Satan to be cast into the pit for 1,000 years. See the web page Satan to the Pit 2003. Folks, the world is full of people who think they are believers, who have no relationship with Father, who who have a relationship with a book, who worship a book, who worship a man, and the satanic and demonic realm plays games with them. Yes, there was a time when there was grace for the use of the words Jesus and God and the Lord, and Jesus is God, and the Bible's the Word of God. But that grace had to be withdrawn in 2003 before Satan could be sent to the pit. That grace no longer exists, folks. You may have got away with it in the past. You won't get away with it today. You may still have some residual grace because you have a relationship with Father, but that is waning. It is seeking, it is draining away. Unless you repent, course correct, and start using the correct names, etc. Have a look at the summary of beliefs on the website. To reiterate, the greatest miracle of Yeshua was to live life and die a terrible death without sinning at all. Had he not accomplished this, his life and death would have been to no effect. This is what enabled him to become an offering for sin, to become our high priest, to become the firstborn from the dead, to become king of human kings, to have authority over Satan, etc., etc. Note that it is available to every believer to live a life without sin and exercise authority over the satanic and demonic realm. I can't stress this enough. There is such a slipshod approach to sin amongst the vast majority of believers and pseudo-believers today. Yeshua did not die so that you could mess around and be sloppy in your relationship with the Creator and to sin and just ignore it. Yeshua died in order to make a way for you and me to live without sin and get really filled with His Spirit, with Father's Spirit, and perform miracles, speak on Father's behalf, turn people to serving Father. The whole objective that you are alive today, if you will have it, is to have a deep personal relationship with Father and to turn other people to seek a deep personal relationship with Father. There are many articles on the website about being a friend of Father, about cleansing yourself, etc., etc. Some of them are referred to in this broadcast. Others are available on the website. Truth number six, Yeshua died as an offering for sin. As stated above, by living life and dying free of sin, Yeshua thereby became a proxy for the spotless lamb or goat of the sin offering given by Moses. By his sinless blood falling on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, he fulfilled the requirements for a sin offering for all time and made this available to all who believe. See the webpage, Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death, and the webpage, The Five Big Lies About Jesus, for much more about this. He assigned his body to the bread of the covenant meal and his blood to the wine of the covenant meal, thereby providing every true believer with a simple, convenient, and readily available offering for sin that allows us to instantly repent and receive forgiveness. It is vital to understand that if Yeshua had not lived and died without committing a single sin, his blood would avail nothing. It is also important to understand that every individual believer is free to take the bread and wine at any time without an officiating priest. It is a lie that you can only take communion in church. If you believe, you can take it at any time you desire. If you're really seeking to get close to Father, you can take the bread and wine morning and evening every day. Anytime you realize that you've sinned, go to Father. Say, Father, I realize I've sinned. I confess my sin. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. And take the blood, the bread and wine, and say, Father, I thank you that Yeshua died a terrible death to give me a way to receive forgiveness for my sin. I thank you for forgiving my sin now. But then don't go and do it again. You need to get disciplined and strong about living free of sin. Truth number seven, Yeshua was the firstborn, is the firstborn from the dead. Because of that, he has massive authority, powers, etc. Because Yeshua had lived without committing a single sin, death had no authority over him, and so when he died, he was immediately resurrected and admitted to heaven, where he received his rewards for his sinless life and death. This reward involved massive authority, huge supernatural powers, the seat at the right hand of the Father for eternity, the most powerful created being in all of creation, etc. So Yeshua can manifest anywhere in the world at any time and in multiple locations simultaneously. He can converse with multiple people simultaneously. And this is all supernatural power that he was awarded for his obedience and specifically his life without sin. This leads people who encounter him to believe that he is the Almighty, but this is not the case. This is a consequence of the gifts that he received because of his sinless life on earth. I sincerely hope that as you listen to this broadcast, you will fully understand the importance of living life without sin. It's so important to understand that when we die, if we have lived close to Father, if we have a deep personal relationship with him, we will receive massive power and authority. Whatever level you're at when you die, you will still get a resurrected body with some level of glory, with some level of prestige, with some level of authority. There's a whole continuum from up there to down there. But if you die without having a relationship with him, you'll end up in the outer darkness, which is a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You don't want to go there. You need to make the effort to get close to Father. Truth number eight, prophetic actions and words enabled various legal powers and other authorities towards Yeshua. Yeshua's position as king, as priest, as offering for sin, etc., were all accomplished by means of prophetic inspired acts and words spoken over him at various times, particularly when he was beaten, tortured, and ridiculed. See again the article, The Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death, for a detailed discussion of these actions. So the high priests proclaimed him king, they proclaimed him Messiah, they proclaimed him priest, they proclaimed him the sin offering. As they ridiculed him, their words were prophetic. In truth number nine, Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool so that he can return as king in 3003. After his death, Yeshua immediately entered heaven, and as a reward for living and dying victoriously over sin, he was rewarded with the highest throne in heaven at the right hand of the Almighty Creator. See Mark 16:19. So then, when Adonai, Lord, Yeshua, not Jesus, had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Almighty. See also Psalm 110, verse 1. Yah, the eternally self-existing, says to my Adonai, Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet, subjugating them into complete submission. Note that since all authority on earth is delegated to human beings, as discussed previously, only humans can make Yeshua's enemies a footstool for his feet. That means you and I, all who truly believe, must take authority over the forces of darkness and defeat them. Fundamentally, that means we must live without sin. And when we do slip, we must immediately go to Father, repent, and take the bread and wine. See the article, Essence of Cleansing and Deliverance, and the other article, Essence of Message Regarding Prayer. In considering this, it is vital to understand that Satan was condemned to 1,000 years in the pit for his sins on the 3rd of May 2003. See the webpage Satan to Pit 2003. Refer also to Revelation 23, and the messenger angel hurled him into the abyss and closed it and sealed it above him, preventing his escape or rescue, so that he would no longer deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years were at an end. After these things, he must be liberated for a short time. Note that in his absence, the earth is ruled by a junta of seven demonic masterminds. See the webpage Essence of Message, Re-Satanic and Demonic, and the webpage Demonic Masterminds Direct. During the 1,000 years, the believers must reign on earth with the Spirit of the Almighty. See Revelation 24. Note that this verse in virtually all Bibles translates as reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. In this verse, Christ accurately translates as reigned with the anointing of the Spirit of Yah for 1,000 years. So fundamentally, Yeshua is waiting for us who believe to take authority over the forces of darkness and make a way for him, Yeshua, to return. If we do not make his enemies his footstool, Yeshua will not return and Satan will reign on earth for eternity. So important to understand this, folks. It's not just all going to happen. We have to pray it into existence. We have to bring it into existence. We have to live life free of sin. It is important to understand that because of the lie that Christ is synonymous with Jesus, almost all Christians interpret the above passage as reigned with Jesus for 1,000 years, which gives rise to the lie that Jesus is coming soon. And Jesus has been coming soon for about 200 or 300 years. He's not arrived yet, and people are not asking themselves what they got wrong. Clearly, Yeshua is not coming soon. He is waiting for us believers to reign for 1,000 years and pave the way for him to return. And fundamentally, reigning with the Spirit of Yah relates to living without sin. So what are you going to do about this? See the Article 7 components of drawing close to Yah for guidance on cleaning up your life, and also the article, what is required to live above sin. In conclusion, I hope that after reading this article, you have a much clearer idea of who Yeshua is, what he accomplished, and what he expects you to do. You might want to pray, Father Yah, I recognize that I've believed lies about Yeshua and not understood the powerful truth set out here. I repent and ask you to forgive me in the name of Yeshua. Thank you for forgiving me. Take the bread and wine as soon as possible and pray the prayers given in the article on prayer and cleansing. It's so important to understand that we have to take charge. We have to defeat the forces of darkness. We have to live above sin. So critical. I want to end up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously, have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I can't stress this enough, folks. The whole reason we exist, the whole reason this universe exists is for one reason only. Father Yah was lonely and he wanted friends. He wants you to be his friend. He wants me to be his friend. He wants everybody you know to be his friend. And right now, there are virtually no people who are truly friends. A friend is somebody who understands Father Yah, who prays his will into existence, who converses with Father at a level of maturity that is congruent with being a friend. Not a servant, not a child, a friend. A mature believer who has a deep relationship with his Creator or her Creator, who talks to the Creator constantly, who prays the will of Creator into existence. You're not going to get that by going to church or mosque or synagogue or temple or whatever. You're going to get that by getting on your knees with Father, by praying to Him constantly, by talking to Him constantly, by dealing with sin in your life. So to wrap up, some key documents and a video on the website, why seek relationship, miracle of Yeshua's death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, the essence of my message to Christians, also articles for Jews, Muslims, other faiths and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, one word. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. Excuse me. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's James at endtimeissueministries, one word, .org, to be added to the mailing list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud table of contents and article search to locate the information you're looking for. All of those are powerful. If you just Google the keywords and key names that are there, you'll find a lot of the web pages. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated, short or tall, fat or thin. Doesn't matter whether you're African, Asian, Indian, European, Caucasian, whatever. Doesn't matter whether you're Jewish, Muslim or Christian or Hindu or Baha'i or Buddhist or whatever, Father wants you to be his friend. Doesn't matter whether you've got blonde hair or black hair, whether you've got brown eyes or blue eyes, he wants you to be his friend. All the other stuff about you must be this or you must be that and only these and only those, it's just not true. It might have had some validity at some point in the past because of the way certain things unfolded. It has no validity today. The fact of the matter is that there are hardly any human beings on the planet today who have a meaningful relationship with the Creator. He wants a deep personal relationship with you. I really encourage you to go to him and say, Father, I want to become your friend. James says I can become your friend. Help me to become my friend. Email me and I will help you. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Father.